You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall in situ to take you through the event in the Netherlands, the KLM Open, and the third event in the FedEx Cup race. The BMW Championship is on the agenda this week as well. First of all, a warm welcome to the man who had a winner last week with Alex Noren winning. Mike Grenham, good afternoon.
Thank you for mentioning that, Dave.
Always going to get it in there.
Yeah, good lad. It's not before time, but they're always welcome, aren't they? Yeah.
What odds was he?
16-1.
Yeah. He's my only pick in the event, which helps as well. I always like that, if you can have one and done kind of thing. But not before time, so I'm not going to go on about it.
He's turned into a real winner on tour as well, hasn't he, Dave? I mean, if he'd have been...
Thank you. It's only one week, though.
If he'd have beaten Anthony Wall, inexplicably beaten by Anthony Wall. I'm talking about Alex Noren now.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he is a good player. And I suppose one of those that has missed out on the Ryder Cup team, but you're thinking now, would you want him on that team, I suppose?
Well, he would, really, yeah. I mean, there's six debutants on there, and... he's in better form than most of them, maybe, apart from Peters. But, it's a shame, isn't it? Two wins and a second in his last five starts.
Yeah.
The second was in the match play, actually, relevantly to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's the injuries shame, over the years, hasn't it? Otherwise, his career would have been better, wouldn't it? It's held him back a little bit.
And in the States, Rory McIlroy on Monday, coming from six back to win and pass Paul Casey and land the Deutsche Bank Championship. Spectacular performance, considering he was +4 through three holes on Friday in his first round. Using the Scotty Cameron putter now after Nike withdrew from manufacturing golf clubs. And working with Phil Kenyon as well. And there was an incredible improvement, Mike, in the putting department for McIlroy last week.
Yes, there was, Dave. Absolutely. He's saying that he'd tweaked it on Saturday morning, which was before round two, wasn't he? That's what I heard an interview with him saying.
Right.
So... that's been holding him back all year, hasn't it? The putting's not been...
Yeah,
it's been his Achilles, a bit like Adam Scott, but be interesting to see how he plays this week.
I did notice it. I think he was 130th in strokes gained putting going into that week, but on that week he was 7th in SGP, and I think he gained 5 shots on the field. So once he does that, it's kind of a problem, isn't it, for everyone else?
It is. He showed with his ball striking, if he can get that putting sorted, which he did last week, he's going to win many more titles. Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps. We'll start with the KLM Open. And Thomas Peters is the 8-1 favourite for the event. Alex Noren is 10-1. Joost Luiten, 16-1. Benny Arne is 20s. Bernd Wiesberger, 25s. Chris Wood is 25-1. Songchai Zhaidi is also 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. The imaginatively named The Dutch Course.
Dutch
is the new host venue for this event, which, from a betting perspective, I think, Dave, is a little bit frustrating, because we have had at Hilversum and Kenema in the past golf courses that tend to throw up the same types of winners each and every year, and now we're moving to what Colin Montgomery, who is he's co-designed this golf course, he calls an inland links.
Yeah.
So we're kind of a bit in the dark from a betting perspective of how this golf course is going to play in relation to the past host venues at the KLM Open.
Yeah, man, I've watched a few videos on YouTube about it, and seen Monty strutting around there. He played a kind of opening ceremony game on it. From what I can gather, it's an inland links. Loose shots will kind of be repelled off the green, like it would on a links course. If you get the wrong bit of the green, you come in at a bad angle. I've seen Joost Luiten tweet a ball in the rough and it looked really quite deep.
Okay.
So we're guessing, aren't we? But I'm thinking driving accuracy is probably something to look at. And I think short and steady might be the way forward this week, because it's under 7,000 yards, which is fairly unusual, isn't it, these days. So it does bring in the shorter guys into play. So that would be my guess, but we are guessing.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at short and steady, neat and tidy players this week, Mike, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to have a bet before it, isn't it, with any massive conviction, and I'm not having one, but it looks like a nice course in the videos. I've seen some of the stuff that Dave's seen, I think, and I'll be looking in play for this one because there could be some value there once we work out what type of player is suited and whether it's a long hitter. It's to speculate at this stage to me is very difficult to put hard cash down.
I've not got a bet for the event either. Have you got one, Dave?
I have got one.
Oh,
yes.
good, because I thought we were going to go through the event without a bet then. Okay, Dave, you give us your selection.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything too short, obviously, because of the guesswork involved. So I'm going to look at someone who is 50-1, Fabrizio Zanotti.
Yes.
Just little bits that you can piece together. He's a very straight hitter, second in driving accuracy this year, and he topped the driving accuracy stats in Switzerland last week, so it's obviously a part of his game that is banging form as we speak. Those stats aren't just garnered from early season performances. Racking up the top 25s, did another one last week. He's got a real affinity for this, I'll say tournament, because he's played well on the two different courses. So he's finished second and fourth in this event. So who knows why a Paraguayan should like playing in Holland, but there you go. So it's just a few little things. A straight hitter, likes the tournament, and the course should suit him and he's in nice form. So put it all together, 50-1, to me looks sort of a decent play. I wouldn't go mad on it, but I think it's just about enough to get me involved.
You've got me convinced with you. Who knows why? Who knows why?
Yeah. Strong case there.
Tilted the balance.
Yeah. I don't blooming know, do I?
Yeah. I like Zanotti as well. And I've got him down written on my three that I've picked out. I've not had to bet in the event, but it should be perfect setup for him. I remember when I tipped him in the British Masters last year, when Matthew Fitzpatrick won, that was all about Woburn. That's all about keeping the ball in play, and he did it brilliantly. And I thought he was going to win that event for long stretches before he was overhauled by Fitzpatrick late on. I like Zanotti, and
who are your other ones?
He's coming into this event with a bit of form. Other ones, Pablo Larrazabal. He's 33-1, and it's always risky backing Larrazabal, isn't it?
Plays well in the event, doesn't he?
He does play well in the event. And he's just volatile, isn't he? So taking a very short price about Larrazabal, never advisable. But from those towards the top of the betting, event form superb. And he improved as the week went on at Switzerland as well last week,
finished
seventh.
Top 10 there, didn't he? Yeah.
So he was one on my mind, Larrazabal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike?
I think Joslauten, who's won this before and has been clearly practicing in his home event, could go well, did all right in the Olympics. Hasn't been breaking any pots of late, but could be a similar course to the Open de France, couldn't it? This one, who's top 10 there, was one of probably his last good finish back in July there. Thomas Peters is a strong favourite, isn't he? But I couldn't be taking 8-1 about him, as good as he is. Maybe if I was to look for another KLM opener, another kind of outsider rather, I'd look for another KLM winner of the past. Peter Hansen, I think, has been bubbling under this year. Yeah, I'll be watching him in running it, 66-1 shot that he is. But I'll be betting in play, I think.
Yeah, I think I'll have a few quid on this event in play.
I have
play
a feeling
as well.
I might like the course when it's like, it'll lure me. So I definitely will be watching closely.
Mikko Ilinen was the other one that I quite liked. He's 40-1. You think about links style venues and Mikko Ilinen's got some good links form over the years. Yeah. And he putted well last week in the European Masters. 5-time winner on tour, so he can definitely get the job done. Should enjoy conditions. He was maybe the closest I came to a bet this week. But the only thing that worries me is if driving accuracy is a real factor this week. He didn't drive the ball very accurately last week in the European Masters, which tempered my enthusiasm enough to put me off a bet at 40-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Montgomery design, and it's always the case, isn't it, that they kind of design it in their own image. So Monty's not going to design a bomber's paradise, as he's going to design something where, you hit it straight and you're rewarded.
I wonder how much he has worked on the course, Dave.
Well, it's him and Ross McMurray,
isn't it?
Who did the Celtic Manor one, or what, whatever. And which led me towards Jai D as well, because he won on that course. on the 2010 Ryder Cup course. So maybe there might be some similar traits.
He's sometimes overpriced, isn't he, Jaidi? But I think at 25-1, he's not overpriced this
week. That's why I've
not
put him up, basically. I think if he'd been 33s, he might have had a go, but not at that. Not pre-tournament, anyway. He's someone who I'll look at once it gets underway.
Any others you want to mention before we move on to the BMW Championship?
Nope.
Not really, no. I say, well, let's let it unfold and then weigh it up.
Yep. Let's get stuck into the BMW Championship then. This week's event on the PGA Tour, the third event in the FedEx Cup. And Rory McIlroy is the 5-1 favourite to win the championship. Jason Day is 7-1. Dustin Johnson, 8-1. Jordan Spieth is 14s. Adam Scott, 16-1. Patrick Reed is 20s. Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, both 25-1. And it's 33s bar. And only the top 70 in the FedEx Cup race have been invited to take part in this championship. And the event returns to Crooked Stick for the first time in 4 years. And I'm sure after his win on Monday, Rory McIlroy is excited about returning to the scene of his success in this tournament back in 2012. And he does head the betting this week. And I suppose, Mike, Crooked Stick is the course that really put Pete Dye on the map as far as designing is concerned, because it was built back in 1965, this golf course, and hosted the US PGA Championship in 1991, where John Daly won his first major.
It was indeed, Dave, and he's got lots of courses, hasn't he, Pete Dye? Lots of different courses, and I suppose you've got to be looking for some of the collateral form from Pete Dye courses. Of course, his probably most famous one is Sawgrass, but,
yep.
Which is different to some of the others, but I'm going to say straight away what I think on this. I think this suits bombers, this track, don't you?
Definitely. Yeah,
what do you think, Dave?
Well, John Daly, yeah, I've seen some players say it's a bomber's paradise. The only little thing against it, which you may be able to help with, is that they held the senior opener. Fred Funk won, who's like the shortest hitter ever.
Yeah, I didn't look at that, to be honest, then, Dave. Yeah. When was that?
2009. But then does it count as much?
They don't tend to set the courses up as long, do they, for the seniors tour? I just looked at 2012 and top 8 or 9 were all properly long hitters, weren't they? I don't think the course will have played as long for the senior open or senior.
I think it was a senior US Open.
Right, yeah. But Funk, there's no one shorter than Funk. To back up what you're saying, though, to a degree, Jim Furyk, I think, was 9th. So I think it was the top 8 were long hitters in 2012.
It was very wet as well that year, so yeah. I think it did exaggerate the sort of need to hit it far.
Yeah, I'd agree that again, but then there's meant to be rain this weekend, isn't there?
Right, so
they want it to be firm and fast, I believe, but there's definitely a lot of rain for Friday at least, so it probably will play pretty much the same again. But there were, Poulter wasn't far off the top 10, there were players who, Zach Johnson wasn't far off the top 10, so a shorty can, if they play really well, can definitely feature, but I just think it just looks like, you know, and I remember at the time thinking this is for long hitters.
Yeah, and just to back up what you said about the 2012 leaderboard, only one of the top 7 ranked outside the top 15 in driving distance, and that one was Tiger Woods. So I wouldn't read.
He can hit it.
He can hit it. Well, he could anyway. I wouldn't read too much into that. And looking at that 2012 leaderboard as well, Dave, it was a star-studded top 10, wasn't it? It was a who's who of golf, really, in that top 10.
It was, indeed. And I think we might get a repeat. That's certainly behind my bets this week.
I've got two for this. Two selections.
One.
Two.
Okay, I'll let you go first then, Mr. Tindall.
He's almost dancing between categories, between a pick and a who don't you want to win, Rory McIlroy.
Right.
So I think I'll just put him up as a pick.
Yeah, 5-1.
Yeah. He can win back-to-back.
You could have him for both and be happy whatever happens.
Yeah, I'll be delighted and furious at the same time.
Well, you could be, whatever happens, you'll be there. You can't be happy.
I'd take some thinking about it.
It does. Oh, too deep.
Yeah. Oh. Rory, he's done this double before. He's won the Deutsche and then he won here. The exact same double. You know, because it finishes on Monday as well, you get even extra momentum. He's only got a couple of days in between, a day less. He won the USPJ and the WGC back-to-back 2014. So he can win 1 week, win the next. Just that turning the putting round. I mean, that was the problem, wasn't it? It's not like his long game's been all over the shop. You look at his records, it's only relatively poor form for him, isn't it? Anyone else, you think, wow, he's in good form.
You've got to measure him, though, by the standards that he's set, haven't you? You can't measure him by everyone else's standards because he is Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But I'm willing to play him this week. I know 5-1 isn't great, obviously, but I'm just not sure who else at the front who I fear, to be honest. Spieth, we thought might come back next last week, and he didn't. I think last week was a better course for him, maybe. Dustin Johnson, when I didn't watch a lot of it, but when I did watch some of it, I saw him like sort of flub one into a bunker. I just think his head's not quite fully there. Day has had, his wife was in a car crash, wasn't she? So he's had extra issues.
Well, something goes on every single week with the Day family.
Yeah, it's always a drama, isn't it? Adam Scott's putting didn't show any sign of coming back. So you eliminate them one by one. And I think Rory, once he's on a roll, his best is better than anyone's best. I still think so.
Yeah,
and are going at fives. True.
Okay, Rory McIlroy, 5-1.
I'm surprised you're dismissing the others that quickly. I think Day, this kind of, because he walks it a mile, doesn't he?
Well, you could be saying that for the last few weeks about him, and he hasn't quite had it. Last week should have suited
him. I wouldn't dismiss him out of hand myself. Johnson had a poor round three, didn't he? But other than that, played really well. I take your point that he's a little bit, he's not getting the job done, is he? But
the eight is short enough for someone who's.
I think he'll go well this week.
I mean, of course, should suit him, but
yeah, I agree. I wouldn't,
but not at that price.
Jason Day finished well last week, and if he,
but he always, Jason Day is doing a lot of this kind of nearest at the finish kind of performances.
Do you think so? He's still won a lot of tour events in the last 12 months, hasn't he?
Yeah, but you're going, but I'm talking very recently. Yeah, I think he's doing
second, fourth, and 15th on his last three outings.
Yeah. But he's never looked like winning them, really, has he? He's just kind of.
Well, we'll see. I wouldn't rule him out as readily as you. Spieth was disappointing last week. I think, and of course, it should suit him more than this one.
Yeah, I think Spieth's
one
of those.
I'm slightly concerned about.
But all those big guns, they tend to win when they're on song. That's my point.
Okay.
So we've seen Day string it back to back when he's been the man, and then Spieth as well.
Because McIlroy's not been on song.
Yeah, but
he
is now, so that's why I want to follow him.
Right.
If you see what I mean,
but then you, but then
now,
you,
now
then,
it's,
then,
now
then,
it's
you
happened.
Then you're taking shorter
coming,
prices,
true,
I suppose.
Well,
aren't you?
That's the trade-off, isn't it? But now he's in form. I want to back the in form of those quartet.
Okay.
Yeah, look, McIlroy's got a big chance.
Yeah,
but,
I think he has.
But I certainly wouldn't rule out Dustin Johnson this week. Spieth, I'd be less keen on. Adam Scott is playing great. Finished very well last week. I know his putting's not been amazing, but his ball striking's out of this world at the moment. His form figures at the moment are fantastic. He's 2-4 in his last two outings, 6th here last time it was played, as was Dustin Johnson, by the way. They were both. So they could go well, I think. I think it's very, very. I think for that reason, I've only got one bet, because I think the market leaders are very strong here, I think. So the places.
Yeah. I'm going with Gary Woodland as my selection, or one of my two selections at 50-1. I think it's fair. His length from the tee will obviously be a major asset, as we've mentioned already, and that we've seen throughout the playoff series as in the past, that if you get hot in the FedEx Cup, you can stay hot, and that goes back to your McIlroy thinking, I suppose, Dave, as well. Woodland's trying to make that late push to get on Davis Love's Ryder Cup team, gives him a little bit of extra incentive if it's needed this week, and he backed up his tie for 4th in the Barclays with a tie for 15th at the Deutsche Bank, so he's in good form now. And he's actually gained strokes on the field with his putting in the last 2 weeks, which is a huge factor for him, because it's certainly his Achilles heel. And if he can mark that or marry that with his strong ball striking on a course that should suit him, he could win this week, I think, quite easily. And I think he could maybe even force his way onto that Ryder Cup team if he does maybe post a top five finish. So Gary Woodland at 50-1 each way is my selection, or my first selection. This week in the BMW.
I had him on my list as well, Dave. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Phil Mickelson for my pick this week.
I raised my second as well.
Did you your second? I mean, if you watched last week's event, he had an 8 in the first round on the 6th hole, where he was just. It's worth watching on YouTube, where he just for some reason decides to play out of a rocky lake, and then tries to do it again and takes an 8, where it's a drop, and he might well have got a bogey, but he just wasted. Shots, there were just shots pouring out of his scorecard. So he's 6 over for that 3-hole spell.
Yeah.
You know, ludicrous, really. I don't know what he was playing at. But he was second here in 2012. He take that miscut away. He's been in good form. He was second in the Open. 13th in the Barclays. He's putting second on tour for the SGP starts, 9th for birdie averages, 12th for strokes gained approaching the green. He's Phil Mickelson, he hits it a long way. Not as far as he used to probably, but far enough, I think. What do you reckon, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, all those stats, I think he's third in scoring average. All those stats are kind of saying, I'm about to win. So I think if you can find a course and a price and marry the two up, and I think you definitely are getting that this week. 40-1, definitely.
Yeah, and a field size, because only 70.
Yeah, 70, yeah.
Yeah, and he's 40-1 in this, which is a big price, given that there's less than half the normal size field. So I could very easily have shot him, let alone deserted him this week. But
it's time. We see him so many times down here, he'd be stupid, and then next week he'll just be absolutely on it again.
Exactly. I tell you what about you? We were talking about the ridiculous, but the sublime with that flop shot. Did you see the flop shot he's
Unbelievable,
hit?
Wasn't
Unbelievable.
It?
Unbelievable. I mean, he has got his own highlight reel, hasn't he? Yeah. Career highlight reel. But
that's one of the best shots I've ever seen.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
But yeah. Last week as well, it was his. He always puts the kids first, doesn't he? It was his kids starting school, and he flew back to see them at school. So his build-up was a bit, maybe not the
best.
I think he's had more time to prepare this year there in school.
Perversely, missing the cut home on Saturday, as all the others finish on Monday, may be a help, mightn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, I think 40-1 looks attractive each way in this field. I really do. He's a winner, isn't he? And I think Dave's hopefully right that he'll shake that off, because it was just a moment of madness, wasn't it?
It's a classic Mickelson daft, isn't it? It's never left
it's him, well worth watching for a laugh, but
you can watch that and then watch the flop shot. Watch both of them, and I mean, and you've got like a minute clip of Mickelson at his absolute best, haven't you?
But he was so good in the Open, and he was second at St Jude as well not that long before that.
Yeah.
Surely he's going to win one soon, and I think this could be it.
It's a nice price. You've kind of talked me into it. 40-1, Phil Mickelson. I'm going with JB Holmes as my second selection. A bit of a wild card pick here, because and he has been ducked slightly in the market as well, but he finished 34th here in 2012, which is by no means sensational, but on paper, it's a course that should really suit him. And his stats off the tee the last 2 weeks have really caught the eye. He's ranked up there in those strokes gained off the tee statistics. Hasn't done that much since finishing third in the Open Championship, but he's 42nd in the FedEx Cup race, needs a big week to get into the Tour Championship. And he ranks 5th in strokes gained off the tee this season, which I think will be huge. 2nd in driving distance. Just needs to clean up his iron play a little bit, and he can certainly sneak into the places, in my opinion. You wouldn't necessarily back him on form. I'm not backing him on current form, but I think it's a good fit for JB Holmes. And he's got a real tendency the last couple of seasons to put a couple of mid-division finishes in and then contend. So I'm hoping the fact that he's made the last two cuts, he might go and contend this week at 66-1 JB Holmes.
You definitely agree with the long hitter.
Well, I think it's a huge factor.
I do.
7,516 yard, plays a par 72, long par fives, and John Daly and Rory McIlroy, winners, last two winners at the course.
I don't think any of us are saying that a shorter hitter, as we said earlier, can't win, but it's a big advantage for the long hitters this week. And if they put well and hit it long, they're in the right place, aren't they?
I think they've just got to play, like you said earlier, you can contend if you're a shortish hitter, if you play outstandingly well.
Correct.
But if you're off in any area, you're going to struggle around this golf course.
Yeah. Just one more pro McIlroy stat. I mean, these playoffs have been going since 2007. If you hadn't really followed them and you said, do you think anyone's ever won some of the events back to back? You think, well, maybe once.
It's happened.
Five times?
Yeah, that is amazing, that.
You know, not always the best players. Viegas, Billy Horschel.
Hold on.
Really. So, yeah, definitely a little spell of the year when you get hot, you stay hot. I mean, there's been other ones where I think Stenson won the second and the fourth, so others have won two of the four, but five times back-to-back.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was five times, actually. I remembered Horschel and Viegas doing it. Yeah. Who were the others?
Vijay Singh, Tiger, and then McIlroy did it, and obviously with these two events that he's trying to repeat the feat with.
Yeah. You were selective there with your not top players, wasn't he?
Yeah.
With Viegas and Horschel and the other three. Yeah.
Sing and Woods, eh?
Because I was worried about the, unlike you, Dave T, I do think that some of the top players can contend this week. You know, I didn't go, there were a couple of outsiders, though, that I didn't do just because I didn't think there were good enough chance of them getting placed. But I thought Kokrak's playing well, isn't he? Jason Kokrak.
Yes, he is.
He's 7th and 8th on his last two outings. He hits it a country mile. Tony Finau, I thought one of you two might have been looking at. He just finished badly in the final round, but he's another one that played well on Pete Dye's The Whistling Straits event of a couple of years ago. He was 10th or something.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
So Jason Kokrak and Tony Finau are two bombers that could figure here, but it's just, can they break into that top five? I'm not sure. And I just wonder whether Bubba missed the cut last weekend, but
40-1, Bubba.
He's drifting out in price. No one hits it further than him, really, do they? And he's 12th, I think, here the last time it was played. He's probably a better player now than he was then, 4 years ago. I think he might just have gone off, but I did look at him.
The other one I looked at was Ryan Moore, just because he's got the course form. He was 10th there, 2012, open with a pair of 66s, and he's bang in form, isn't he, in these playoff events? I think 5th and 7th. So he's playing really well.
And he's got
really
a recent win.
Yeah, he won.
How recent is that?
John Deere.
Yes.
It's a pretty recent. Yeah,
pretty recent.
Yeah. So he's played well for quite a few months. He said he'd built his schedule around this part of the season because he's often gone into the playoffs feeling a bit whacked. So he didn't play a lot through maybe the spring and summer. So he's fresh and he's reaping the rewards. He's also, I think he's got a fitness coach. So he's playing nicely. I thought 40-1 was pretty good. Okay with him, but I do prefer Mickelson as a 40-1 shot.
Louis Oosthuizen has been playing well, but he'll no doubt just creep up to a 10th place finish also. He's been getting behind in events and then flattering to deceive, and he looked like he was going to be in contention on Monday when he was partnered with Rory McIlroy, but eventually fell away. So Louis Oosthuizen may be a little bit short, 33-1. And the more I look at that price list we've got, the odds we've got in front of us here in the studio, I'm liking Mickelson 40-1.
Yeah, that second here 4 years ago, him and he was ahead of Rory actually going into the final round, wasn't he? So Rory just played the final round a bit better, if I remember rightly.
Scoring was low, wasn't it, as well?
I was just going to mention that. 20 under, wasn't it, didn't he? McIlroy got 20 under. So you're going to have to hold your putts.
Mm. Okay, chaps, let's recap the selections, then we'll get the player we don't want to win this week. What's your... What are your picks, Mike?
Well, my nap is Phil Mickelson, as is my only bet. But I'll tweet if I fancy anything in Europe. Do you say a player we don't want to win?
Yeah, player you don't
want
to win. No, you've answered the right question, but you might as well give the player you don't want to
Phil
win.
Phil Mickelson,
well.
It'll be a point each way bet, and the player I don't want to win, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
Brooks Koepka, one of those two, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going a point each way Gary Woodland at 50s, point each way JB Holmes at 66-1, and I suppose the player I don't want to win would be... I've got absolutely no idea this week. Mikko Ilinen, I think, in the KLM Open would be the man that I don't want to win. Dave?
Yeah, I'll start with don't want to win. Juus Luyten, just because, look, a Dutch man won in Holland, and I wasn't on him.
And he's got a good chance, hasn't he?
And he's
as well.
Won there before, yeah. and he's a good player.
Yeah, and he's clearly been preparing, hasn't he?
Yeah. Mm. So that would annoy me if he won. As for my bets, yeah, point each way as well. Phil Mickelson at 40s. I'll have half a point each way. Fabrizio Zanotti at 50s.
Yes.
And then Rory, it's got to be a win bet, hasn't it?
Got to be.
3 points win at fives.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, folks. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Check us out on iTunes as well. And as ever, follow us on Twitter at D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Both Thursday starts this week, the KLM Open and the BMW Championship. And the betting is on the William Hill website at williamhill.com. Just click on the golf page. Thank you again for listening to the podcast. And myself, Mike, and Dave will be back next week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.